Thank you for joining us. Boy, I tell you, it is good to be back to small group Sunday school. To begin, let's go to Matthew 16. I'll open us in prayer. And then right after I do the prayer, what I'm going to do is talk more directly to those who are joining us online, Facebook Live, just to bring them into what we're doing. And then I'll go over today's class. But Matthew 16, 18 through 19. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. This is a new small group Bible study, or small group Sunday school, you could call it, that's beginning today and is running basically through Christmas. Okay? So if you're just tuning in and, or seeing this, this is something that's just beginning. All right, Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19. This is Jesus talking to Simon Peter. And he says this, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, there's lots to talk about there, but what we're focusing on is this phrase where Jesus says, "My church." Okay? "And the gates of hell," or the gates of Hades, "will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," symbol of authority, right? And apostolic authority that's given to Peter and the apostles, and that is still active in the church, not through apostles, but through the church and the Lord's pastors and missionaries. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," gospel keys, "and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, language of authority, legal language. This is about how the gospel of Jesus Christ grants sinners access into heaven, really and truly, through Christ. But I begin with this passage not to talk about all of these other extremely important points, but just the phrase, let it simmer for a little bit, "my church," or Jesus says, "my church." This Sunday school class that runs through Christmas is about the importance of the church. And we need to remember at every point, it's not ours in terms of we don't own it. It's Christ's church. Now we can say that it's ours in the sense that we belong to it. We've been brought into it. But there's one grand or one supreme authority over the church, Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray together and then I'll speak more directly to the people who are joining us online. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for bringing us together this morning. I pray our study will help us to grow, help us to learn, help us to grow in our love for you and for your church and for what you're doing in the church. Father, grant us mercy in our time of need. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Actually, the very first thing I'm going to do, don't get distracted by it. This is coming off. That's coming off. I'll put it back on afterwards as I'll start coming closer to you all and talking. But for the class, I don't want to start sweating profusely, so I'm taking off the gaiter. Okay, well, let me talk to those who are watching online. If there are any, I haven't checked the stats, but welcome. This is a new Bible study, a small group Bible study, or a small group Sunday school that we're starting. We're going to meet here in person every Sunday at 9:30, from 9:30 to about 10:25, maybe some weeks 10:20 if we get out a bit early, and then we'll head out to worship at 10:45. This first class will be the only one that we're live streaming, and we're doing that to give you a chance to look in on it without coming, and maybe that'll, if you're on the fence about joining or about coming, this will help you make a decision. So just to give you the picture, there's about, how many would you say is in here? 20? Maybe 20, give or take a few, in a large room here in our sanctuary. So we are spaced out. People have masks on. You will be safe, and we're being cautious in here, so have plenty of room. There's people in this row, there's people in these rows over here, but there's no one over here to my right. So it's waiting for you to come and join us. I don't want you to be fooled by the fact that I'm wearing a suit to do this class. This is just the way I like to dress for church. But this is a very casual setting. Before the class, we joke around with each other. It's very warm, very welcoming. So I encourage you, come and check it out. One of the things we'll talk about today is that church is the people, okay? Church is the people. So come, experience the people, and you'll have fun, and you'll be challenged, and we'll look at the Word together. Okay, so let's begin. Today, here's the three things I want to attempt to do. I want to talk about the main goal and the summary truths of this class. All right, so we will do some Bible study today. We're going to talk about the main goal, the overview goal, and summary truths behind this class. And then after that, we're going to distribute the books. Well, I have one right here. The box of books is down here. Distribute the books and distribute a schedule for the class and introduce the other three teachers who will be doing this with me. I have four, Pastor John has four, Jason Manry has three, and Matt Evans has three of the classes. Okay, so we're spreading it out. So after the main goal of summary truths, we'll distribute the book, we'll distribute the schedule. If you're online and you just decide you're going to follow along faithfully with the class and you'd like a schedule, hard copy, or I could email it to you, and you'd like a book, just send a message through the Facebook or email me, pastormatt@northharford.org. We'll get you what you need to follow along from your home. And then after we distribute the books and the schedule, we are going to close with a brief lesson. I want it to be a relatively long lesson, 15 minutes to 20 minutes, but I just don't think we're going to have the time. So to be safe and to not get your hopes up, a brief lesson on the biblical definition of the word or the concept church. What does that word mean? Where does it come from? Okay, so first talking about the main goal and the sort of the core truths, the foundational truths. We saw one already, Matthew 16, right? This church belongs to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the one building his church, and the forces of evil, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the church. So just in that one little clause, there's much to say about the church. But let's get started on that, okay? Are you tracking with me? Okay, lots of nods. Let's talk about the main goal and some of the core truths or summary truths behind this class, some of what's guiding it. And I call this primer points. Primer points. If you ever started a lawnmower, you've got to hit that little primer button just to get things going, okay? So primer points addressing some misconceptions about church. Church is not an event that happens on Sunday. It's not an event. The church organizes events. The church hosts events. But church is not an event. And I'm not going to pick on with a fine-tooth comb the way we talk. We say we're going to church. I think most of us know what we mean by that. We're going to gather and assemble with the church. But the church is not an event that happens on Sunday. Church is not a social club. It is not a religious-themed social club. Are we social? Yes, I would hope so. But it's not a social club. It's not just one segment of your life that's on equal par with the other segments of your life. Personal life, hobbies, this social club over here, this social club over here, this hobby, and now the church over here, just another social club that I do if I feel like it. Church is not a building. We know that, right? Church is not a building. Again, let's not pick on the language here. We're going to the church. We're going to the church. We're going to a building that the church owns, and we're going to a building that the church uses to host and organize their events. But the church is not a building. There's nothing particularly holy about the room that you are in. Church is not a place of entertainment. It's not a place of entertainment. And what a tragic movement, what a tragic trend today, where churches, many, not all, but many, have focused on being as entertaining as possible to draw in a bigger crowd. Church is not a place of entertainment. Church is not a place to come and get self-help pep talks. We do not need self-help pep talks. We need to be saved. We need to be saved. And what the church is what we're going to focus on. These things of what the church is not are just primer points just to get you thinking about some misconceptions of church. Church is a localized community of believers in Jesus Christ. It's a localized. That means it's in a place. It happens in a place, a locality. It's a localized community. Community, people with relationships with each other, doing things together, growing together, meeting together, praying together. A church is a localized community of believers in Jesus Christ. See, now that's the heart. That's where our hearts need to be. This is what the church is. It's believers in Jesus Christ who come together and join together in a community of faith in a specific locality. Church is a localized community of believers in Jesus Christ who come together, worship together, serve together, and obey the Lord together in the duties and tasks which He has given to us. And we find joy in that. We find joy in that. If you hear the phrase Christian duty or Christian task, and it's only this hard, cold, begrudging thing, there's a change that needs to happen in the way that you're thinking. Because is it difficult to serve the Lord? Yes, sometimes it is. Many times it is. But we serve Him because it's our joy to serve Him. And we fellowship with one another because we find joy in each other and the shared faith that we have. So the church is a localized community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together in Him and for Him. Of course, we've been born again by His power. Now, in that context, what the church is not and what the church is, our main goal for the class is that, and I'm just going to read this to be precise, that we would grow in our understanding of the church and that we would grow in our love for and devotion to the church. Now, both of those things. I don't want this just to be head knowledge. I don't want this just to be learning. My prayer is that I and you would grow in our understanding of the church according to God's word. That's one aspect. And that we would grow in our love for the church because it's Christ's church. And grow in our devotion to the church by the power of God's Spirit. Now that's our overarching goal, okay? To grow in our understanding and to grow in our love and to grow in our devotion to the church. And there's multiple facets of that growing in love and growing in devotion. I'm not going to get into it now, but just to give you a preview, that means growing in love and devotion to God Himself. It means growing in love and devotion to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Church is not an abstract idea, but it's actual people. And so growing in love and devotion to God, growing in love and devotion to each other. And the third aspect of this is growing in love and devotion to others, to the world around us. God has called us into His kingdom, and He's given us a kingdom task to reach the lost for Him, that they would be saved, and that He would get glory from their salvation. All right, so that's the goal. Let's see how many of these I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 summary points on the importance of the church. And for each of these, I'm going to rattle off some cross-references. I don't expect you to be able to write that quickly. I don't expect you to flip through them. This section of the study is not designed for that. They'll be on record on the video if you want to go back and check it out. Or just ask me after the class or send me an email. Hey, give me those cross-references and I'll get them to you, okay? But what did I say? I have 5 of these? Yes, okay. Summary points on the importance of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. think I printed some of these out. 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you." This is Paul talking to the church. "Since I betrothed you to one husband, Christ, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 and following. Revelation 19:7. Revelation 21:2. The church is Christ's bride. And for any guys out there who have a bride, you love your bride and you want your bride to be honored and you want her to be respected. And you should not talk foul about your bride. You should not slander your bride. You must stay faithful to your bride. The church is the bride of Christ, and she is precious to Him. For as many negative things and blemishes we see from our limited perspective, lacking the grace that God has, but He cherishes His bride. The church is the centerpiece of God's work in the world. The church is the centerpiece of God's work in the world. And that's why we try to be passionate about this. We try to be diligent in saying things like this. Get involved. Get on board with this. Get on board with what God is doing in His church. It's the centerpiece of His work in the world, the centerpiece of His kingdom rule, and the centerpiece of His redemptive plan. Ephesians 1:7-10. Ephesians 1:7-10. Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 3:20-21. Hey, how about this? The book of Ephesians. All right, the book of Ephesians, Matthew 16:18-19, which we began this class with. One of the ways He summarizes all of His work is building His church. He's going to build His church. That's His goal. That's His work. And I would say the book of Acts. As you read through the book of Acts and you see how Christ, through His Spirit, through His church, builds the church through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word, and prayer. Number 3, the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the centerpiece of God's work in the world. That means His kingdom rule. That means His redemptive plan. And the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 and Ephesians 2:21. Now, there are times in Scripture that say you as a Christian are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but this passage in 1 Corinthians 3 is the church as a whole is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the dwelling place of God on earth in a special way. Of course, God is present everywhere, but in a special way in His church because of the presence of His Spirit. 4, the church is the pillar of truth. I'll read this one, 1 Timothy 3:15. If I delay... Paul, talking to Timothy, if I delay, that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. And brothers and sisters, isn't that true? There's a certain way we ought to behave, well, everywhere, but in the household of God. This is not a place where we come and just act however we want and expect no consequences. No, out in the world you might expect that, and the lawlessness and some of the things that are going on now. But then he says this about the household of God. Know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. What does a pillar do? It holds something up. What does a buttress do? It holds something up. What does the church do? We hold something up. The truth of the living God. The truth of His Word. We're not here for a self-serving purpose. We're here for God and for His purposes. To hold up His truth, not our opinions. Not to fight for our personal preferences and throw a fit if the rest of the church doesn't get in line. But we're here to hold up and glory in the truth of Almighty God. We're the pillar and buttress of truth. In an age of opinion and in an age where feelings are considered as ultimate truth, the church should be shining as a bright spotlight, holding up the truth of God. And finally, the church is God's instrument for your personal discipleship. Now see, that's one thing we need a revival of today. Seeing the church as God's ordained, that just means he came up with it, he put it in place, okay? Seeing the church as God's ordained mechanism or his ordained instrument for my personal discipleship. I need to be involved in the church. God has made me a member of the church. Let me give you the verses for that before I forget, all right? Romans 12:5, I'll read this. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Members of one another. Members of the church, members of one another. We're connected. And that the illustration he's using is that of body parts. Body parts that are connected in one body. That's the picture of a Christian. That's the biblical picture of a Christian. To be connected to the church, a living, active, working, worshiping body part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, still on this point about the church is God's instrument for my personal discipleship and for your personal discipleship. Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. He's talking about Christian growth, right? Grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Spiritual growth. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, one of Pastor John's favorite phrases in all of Scripture, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so scripturally, biblically, to talk about the spiritual growth of the Christian and to talk about the spiritual growth of the church is the same discussion. It's the same discussion, not the same exact topic, but one discussion, two sides of the same coin. Okay, so we don't cut ourselves off from the church and think that we can pursue spiritual growth according to God's plan. No, we're members of a body. I read Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 12, almost the whole chapter, but I'll just read something from, I believe this is verse 12, one body, many members. And that's the summary point for almost that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. We're one body, one spiritual community, many members. And remember, that word member, that word part, appendage, carries along with it the implication that you're connected to everyone else. Spiritually connected. Romans 12:5, we read that one. Ephesians 4:16, we read that one. I just want to check off the boxes here. Colossians 3:15 and 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul writes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, that means made holy, set apart for God's purpose, made holy, called to be saints together, with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. He addresses the church as they are, as they truly are, as one community of believers, bound together, literally, truly, eternally, bound together by virtue of the Spirit who is within us, the Spirit of the risen Christ. Okay. Let me restate the overall goal for the church. Those were our summary points. If you want those typed out or something like that, just let me know. But the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the centerpiece of God's work in the world. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is the pillar and buttress of truth. And the church is God's instrument for yours and for mine personal discipleship. Our personal efforts and energies in following Christ should be located in a biblical local church. And that goal, I'm looking for the goal here on my notes, that we, for this class, that we would grow in our understanding of the church according to God's word, and that we would grow in our love for and devotion to the church by the power of God's Spirit. That can only happen by God's Spirit. Amen? Amen. And that's not something we muster up from the sinful flesh. To grow in love and devotion for God, to grow in love and devotion for each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, and to grow in love and devotion for the world around us. That doesn't cover everything. For instance, I didn't mention the home and family. To grow in love and devotion for a home and family, okay? I would put that in the third category, just generally speaking, others, right? Unless, you know, for whoever's saved in your family, that would be included under brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, check mark. We got through, I believe, the first portion. What I would like to do, and Pastor, would you help me with this? To get these schedules distributed. And then, Brother Dave and Brother Jason, would you help me get these books distributed? Let's do one per person. If you think one for family would work well too, you can do that. And again, for those who are online, if you're just not going to come in person, but you really will try to be faithful and track with these, contact me on the comments, or just message our Facebook account, or email me, pastormatt@northharford.org, and we'll get you a book. And for those who are here, just to make it easier and just so you can see it, we're distributing the book. But if you decide you want to go to another Sunday school class, or if you're just not going to use the book, please give that back to us so we can, we don't have an infinite amount of books is what I'm saying. So if we can get that to someone who maybe is not here today, or maybe won't be here next week, but is going to sit in on the class, maybe we can give you their book. If you really want one, we'll get you one. But for these first couple weeks, I want to make sure that whoever's coming has one. I think we're doing okay on time. I have a bad habit. Now, your senior pastor is a good man, is trying to wean me off of this habit I have of. But I'm not. I don't have anxiety about the time, but it's just the way that I think when I. And Brother Steve, you and I were talking about this last night, about when we're driving somewhere. The way we picture things happening is in segments of time. So that's just, from when you hear me mention the time slot, that's what I'm thinking of. And Pastor, eventually I'll stop talking about it and I'll just think those things. But right now it's pretty useful banter to give time for all the materials to get out, right? Yeah. Well, there's a method to his madness. All right. So the importance of church is at the top of the page. 9:30 every week, class book, The Church, Her Nature, Authority, Purpose, and Worship. This week is overview. You see that September 6th. September 13th is a pastor's panel. So next week, Pastor John and I will be sitting up here. I think we'll be sitting, right?
Yes, I gave that indication.
Yes. Not squatting. That's okay. Don't hurt yourself. And we, next week, want to share from our hearts why the Lord has put this burden in our hearts to have this study. Why do we want to talk about the importance of the church? Why is that important to us? And so it'll have a structure to it. But we kind of want to spill our hearts out to you and say, this is why we care. This is why this is important. And then after that, September 20th, we begin section one, which is the nature of the church. Let's go there. Turn to, it doesn't have a page number on it, but it's page 30 or 29. And it says part one. I put, I did put part one. I thought I put section one, but it's part one, the nature of the church. And you can see the verse, you can just skim through on your own that passage right there, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. The nature of the church. You can talk about the nature of a person. What is a person? Person is a body and soul made in God's image. You talk about the nature of the world. The world is a created place that reveals God's infinite power and glory. You can talk about the nature of God. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. The nature of something. Just the basic makeup of what it is. So here's the nature of the church. The first chapter is the marks of the church or characteristics, right? The defining characteristics or the defining traits. That's September 20th. That'll be me. September 27th, chapter 2, membership of the church. We're not going to turn to each chapter, but walking through this, membership of the church, that's under the nature of the church. It's made up of members, right? It's a community. It's made up of members. And so we'll talk about membership. That will be Pastor John. I will pass the baton off to you, take my seat in the assembly, and enjoy your lesson on the membership of the church. And then October 4th is Jason Manry, Pastor John's son. And he's going to do the duties of church membership. The duties of church membership. Brothers and sisters, we are not consumers. We are servants. Servants of the Most High God. And God has assigned us duties. And it's a joy that we would pursue them. Not always easy in this culture of comfort and entertainment that we live in. And then part two. Then part two, just to get your eyes on it. Let's go there. And that is page, again, it doesn't have a number on it, but it's around page 88, 87 or 88, somewhere around there. Part two, the authority of the church. And he has Matthew 18, 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Chapter 4, the first part of the church's authority, the authority that God has given to his church, is the power and discipline of the church. That will be Pastor John again. Chapter 5, after that, the offices of the church. That will be Brother Matt Evans. And by the way, prepare yourselves. I'm going to have you three come forward and as soon as I'm done going through this schedule, okay? I'm not going to put you on the spot and have you say anything that you're not ready to say, but I don't know, I might. I reserve that right. Because I don't know what I'm going to feel like doing once you get up here. The offices of the church. Pastors and deacons. Chapter 6, after that, Matt will be doing another one. The government of the church. The organizing structure. Right? How it operates. How it functions. And then part 3 after that, the purpose of the church. Why are we here? Right? So the nature of the church, what is this? The authority of the church, or where does our authority come from, and what kind of authority is it? By the way, part two is such a critical topic in every age, but for us, this is a major topic today because we live in an increasingly anti-authority culture. Not just anti-authoritarian, right, where there would be an authority person or structure or institution that's overreaching is using their authority in an inappropriate way. We are not just anti-authoritarian in our culture. We are anti-authority. Anti-authority. But the church is a place where God has given authority. So then the purpose of the church. Chapter 7, the mission of the church. Pastor John. Chapter 8, the methodology of the church. I'll grab that baton back. And that basic methodology means, look at it, methods. It means, what do we do? What do we do in the church? What are our methods to achieve our purpose? And that's why he put them in that order, right? Mission or purpose, and then methods. Right? Because it's one thing to know what you have to do and then try to figure out how to do it on your own. But it's something different to know what to do, and then you're also told, now here's how you do it. Okay. Now many of you guys, and maybe many of the women as well, are like me. If you get something to put together, you get the instruction booklet, and the very first thing you do is that. And some of us take it as a challenge to try and figure it out on our own. I do that because that process and putting something together can make you learn more because you have to think more, and you will remember how it goes together better.
Or it's an excuse.
What's that?
Or that's your excuse for doing it.
You have to have humility also. You have to have humility also. And if you need help, you look for help. If you mess up, you fess up. But even if you mess up and fess up and go back and repent and look at the book and use the book as a guide, it still will help me remember for the next time and learn those lessons. But we don't have that luxury in the church. God has given us a clear word on our methods for growing the church and for accomplishing the mission and the purpose that He gave us. Chapter 9 is the teaching of the church. Matt Evans will be doing that as well. Now I hope you see, under part 3, I hope you see the movement there. Mission of the church, what we're here for. Method of the church, how we strive to achieve that mission. And then the teaching of the church, because it is through the teaching of the church that we accomplish our mission. In other words, that is the central method. The teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Read the book of Acts, and then read it again. But it's not going to go over your head. You will see it fly off of every page, almost every paragraph. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is how the church achieves its mission and purpose in the world. So mission, methods, and teaching. Part 4, the worship of the church. Part 4, the worship of the church. We are a worshiping community. We're a community that makes much of God. We are a community that puts the glory of God first in our hearts and in our lives and in church body life. At least we should be striving to do that. Amen? We don't always do that. Chapter 10, the theology of the church. Brother Jason will be doing that. And then November 29th, Thanksgiving special, the gospel. I'm going to take a week and talk about the gospel. And the reason I put it there is because everything is working. There's a progression in what that study is. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the center of all of it. So what I'm going to do is take a week out and put all of our energies and all of our efforts to seeing and growing in and enjoying the gospel of Jesus Christ. His incarnation, His righteous life, His sacrificial death, His powerful resurrection, His ascension to the right hand of the Father, and His pouring out of the Holy Spirit to save a people for Himself. Brethren, that's why we're here. We're here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we'll take a week to do that. And it just so happens it's around Thanksgiving. December 6th, the elements of worship. Jason Manry. Similar concept there to our methods. We don't receive a job from God and then try to figure out how to do it on our own. No. And likewise, God doesn't say, worship me, but you figure out how to do it, and you do it the way that makes you feel comfortable and cozy and really stirs your emotions. No, we're given a clear word, clear principles, how we ought to worship Him and the heart behind worship and the different things we do in worship. December 13th, chapter 12, the principles of worship. The underlying principles, some of the heart reasons behind worship. Pastor John, and then December 20th, we'll have a pastor's panel. And brother, what I hope to do is address questions. And if we can get enough questions from you, I don't know when we'll compile them or exactly how we will compile them, but we'd like to have a closing pastor's panel as well and address questions and talk about maybe some specific application takeaway points so that we as a group and that each one of us individually can walk away from this class in a specific way saying, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to change. This is what God is calling me to do. This is how God has changed my heart. I think that's important. I don't want to have a study just for study's sake. I'm not cynical on that. I know God will use the class however He purposes to use the class. But we want to be involved in being diligent about, you know, seeking His will and His calling upon us. All right, so that's your schedule. Okay, I didn't forget. How about Matt, Jason, Pastor, will you come up here? I just want the people online to see you. Here comes the bashfulness. No, you have to make sure you're inside the line. Inside that the side of that pew. Okay, so Jason, give a wave. This is Jason Manry. He will be teaching those three classes. I don't have the schedule memorized, so I'm not going to look down at it now. But you tell us just quickly about yourself. How long have you been at this church? And also something about seminary in your life right now. Just give us a word. Pull the mask down so we can get you on.
Pull the mask down. There we go. So I've been at this church most recently for 2 months, but we've been around a little bit longer than that. So I'm currently a teacher teaching the Bible at Perry Hall Christian School and slowly working through finishing up my master's degree at Southern Seminary. Excited to, just be able to talk about the church, what it is, and what it's for.
Great. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Matt Evans, pull that mask down. Tell us how long you've been here and tell us what your central ministry is here. And I know you're not doing it now because of COVID, but tell us what that is and how long you've been doing that.
My name is Matt, and I have been here since January of 1992. I normally teach a Sunday school class downstairs. I took over after my father passed away, and that was in 2016, so a little new at this, but as far as going to church and being part of the church, I think I have a lot of experience in that. So,
thank you, brother. Excited you guys are teaching. And then Pastor John, and step over here because I think you're maybe a little far for the mic. How long have you been pastoring here, and anything else you'd like to throw out there just to introduce yourself?
86, so 34 and a half, a little more than that years. Thankful to be here. And really excited about this class. Just one announcement about it. Is that okay? And that is that we will finish this. Now, if we go to smaller groups because of freedom to do so, some of you may decide to do that. We understand. But we are going to finish this. We think the material is important enough. So the class that I normally teach in this room, we're going to continue on with this and then pick up after the new year. But I'm very thankful for Matt, Pastor Matt, mapping it out. Hopefully some of you that are online this morning, you'll come and join us. We are very much spread out, and it's been a good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, I appreciate your willingness to help out with that. The team effort is emblematic, I think, of the topic that we're studying, the church. And teamwork is it's a word we use all the time, and I'm not sure we find that word itself in Scripture, but we find the concept. And I made it the theme of how long you've been here. I've been here just about 2 years as Pastor John's associate. Whoever's here knows, but if you're online, you may not know that. August 1st is the anniversary, so just over 2 years as the associate. And excited to be here, glad to be here, and to grow in the Lord with you. Excited that you've shown up to this class. We didn't know what to expect because first day for Sunday school, and just who knew how it would work out. So thank you for coming, and if you're online, thank you for joining us. Okay, we have 11 minutes, although I may take 12 or 13. So you know that's an inside joke by now, right? Between me and Pastor John and me giving you the exact time frame. All right. Let's talk about the word church. Let's talk about the word church. Church is a translation of the Greek word ekklesia. If you've heard that word before, would you raise your hand up for me? I think a lot of you have, maybe have. Ekklesia. Ekklesia. If I had my trusty whiteboard, I'd write it up there in English letters so that you could see it. But I think this will be now the fifth or sixth time I've said it. You can picture it. Ekklesia. E-K, the first two words. Ekklesia. And it means congregation or assembly. That's what just the word itself means. Now, what's ultimately important is how that word is used in Scripture. Everything has a context. Okay, so we want to understand what this word assembly or what this word congregation means in the way that it's used in Scripture. Ekklesia, congregation or assembly, all right? It carries the idea of people who have received a calling to come and join in this congregation for a specific reason. They've been called out of the general public in a particular way to come and join this assembly or that assembly or this congregation. It's not a word that was invented just for what God is doing in the world. It's a word that existed in the world. It meant congregation, it meant assembly, and it referred to you would receive a summons, you would receive a call to come and join an assembly for a specific purpose. It's not technically a compound word, ekklesia, but it almost is. It resembles one. Ek, as a prefix in the Greek, means out of or out. Okay, so just think of, you have something here, a group of people. Ek would be come out of or go out. So ekklesia, which has the same root word as the Greek word for calling or summons. Sometimes you'll hear this talked about as klesia comes from the verb to call or to summon. It's similar to some of the forms of that verb, but it's almost exactly the same as the noun, which is klesis, which that means calling or summons. And so ek, out or out of, klesia, calling or summons. The church is a group of people who've received a summons. They've received a calling to come out of the world in a spiritual sense and join the assembly of God. That's what church is. We are called out people. Called out that we would gather together as the congregation of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Ekklesia. Old Testament background on that. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament that comes from the 3rd century B.C., the word ekklesia is used many, 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 many times. And it's translated assembly. I'll give you just a few cross-references here, if I can find them. I can. Okay, 1 Chronicles 13:2. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, to all the ecclesia of Israel, "If it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us." And then in verse 4, 1 Chronicles 13, all the assembly agreed, the ecclesia, the assembled people of God, who are called out of the pagan nations, set apart to be His people. 1 Chronicles 29:20, then David said to all the assembly, ecclesia, "Bless the Lord your God." Psalm 149, 1 and 2. "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise in the assembly of the godly," in the ecclesia. It's an assembly of God's people. It's an assembly for worship. "Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king." And one more, Psalm 89:5. "Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones." Ecclesia. And just a quick note, we're not going to discuss this in depth, but there's a Hebrew word for assembly or congregation. Sometimes it's translated in the Greek Old Testament as ekklesia. And sometimes the same exact word is translated. Tell me if this sounds like another word that you know. It's translated synagoge. What does that sound like? Synagogue. The gathering. The gathering. And so there is an Old Testament background to this idea of God calling His people, calling the people out from the world in a spiritual sense to come together and be His. Okay? To be His. The assembly of God's people, the congregation of God's people, the ecclesia, the church. Oh boy, I wish I had the whiteboard for this. Well, New Testament usage, and we're not going to have time for this. I told you at the very beginning, this will be a brief study, although in my heart of hearts, I wish I had a little bit more time for it, but we'll cover all these things as we go along, okay? So in the New Testament, the usage, there's two ways this word church is used, and we need to know these ways, okay? One, and I would say this is primary, that we need to know this, because this is how we plug into the church now. One is the local church. The local church. The local church. Let me get my cross references. Oh, I have it right here. Okay. This gathering of people that's meeting here today is representative of a local church, North Hartford Baptist Church. Right, believers in this locality, in this area, that have been called out of the world in a spiritual sense. We come together to serve the Lord together, to worship the Lord together. We're His congregation. We're His assembly. We're His people. We are His. So local church, the localized church. And that's how God has organized His people in the world today. In the Old Testament, it was in a nation, Israel. Now, it's local churches. Thousands of local churches all over the world. And then the church, I'm just going to use the word universal because that's the common word that's used for that. So if you hear this talked about or if you read about this, you'll know what it's referring to. The universal church. So we have a local church and we have a universal church. The universal church is all of Christ's people from all ages, from all over the world. And although we are not all assembled together right now, one day we will be. As one perfected, glorified, assembled church in heavenly glory. You see, that's the end goal. But that's not where we are now. That's not where we are now. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. Author of Hebrews writing to Christians, and he says, "You have come to Mount Zion." Now, Mount Zion was a prophetic theme in the Old Testament. It symbolized the place of salvation, the place where God would save His people and gather them together. "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." The church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. So here's the important thing. That's one church. One church, all people from all ages, from all places on earth who've been born again in Christ. The church, singular. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. "And He put all things under His feet," God the Father, "put all things under His feet," Christ's feet, "and gave Him," Christ, "as head over all things to the church," one church, "which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Many local churches. Yes, local churches, but also one church, one people of God. And finally, I believe we didn't technically start with this verse, but it was pretty early where I said the bride of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 23, 24, "For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, one universal church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands." And I'll give you this for your homework. Glorious passage. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. So, there are many, 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 many local churches, and central into God's call upon any of His children right now in this world, in this age, is that you would be a living, active member in a local church. And each local church can be referred to as the body of Christ. Okay, we are the body of Christ. But, so the church, local, is where God brings different sinners together to be a local church. The church universal is, in the age to come, He brings all of his local churches together and lifts them to glory. And there's one perfect, beautiful, radiant bride of Christ, singular, the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. What could we say? What could we say, God? You've given us everything. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave your life and death for us. You shed your blood so that our sins would be taken away. You've given us new hearts by your Holy Spirit. We thank you. Father, I pray that you would use this study, not necessarily in the way that I have it mapped out, or the way that we've discussed or planned, but in the way that you would so choose. Use this study for your glory, according to your purpose, to strengthen your church and to help us achieve our mission that you've given us to do. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.